Blog Talk Radio.
The coach with the most coming at us from coast to coast. He doesn't mean to brag, but he's got to boast because his favorite all-time food is pot roast. Coach Mike Jones. Coach, real quick, happy National Coaches Day to you.
Thank you, brother. It's an honor. And I'm happy that the Reds have a new manager who's the championship manager, Terry Francona.
Absolutely. Former Red Terry Francona coming home. Fans, if you are looking for some pro wrestling today, there's some out there. You have Summit Pro Wrestling happening in Greenfield, Indiana today, up in our neck of the woods. DOA is in Liberty, Oregon. PNPW in Astoria, Oregon. And Blue Collar Wrestling is in Portland, Oregon at the North Portland Eagles. Now I would like to introduce our guest today as we start off Children of Pro Wrestlers Month. He is the son of the late Leroy Redbone, and he also is, of course, the grandson of the late Dick the Bruiser. Carl Apples, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me on the show today.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure. Now, Carl, I'm going to give you a little bit of a twist of our traditional first-timer question here. When were you first aware that your dad and your grandfather were professional wrestlers?
Man, my two sisters, we knew when we was all very, very little. Growing up, they were just normal people to us. That, you know, like, of course they was wrestlers, but, like, to me and everybody else, and that was just like our dad, our grandpa, it was just normal people. But, like, from earliest memories I have growing up is of them as wrestlers.
Obviously, in Indiana, anyone that's from there knows that your family was very, very well known in that area for a long, long time. And, of course, They were on television every week in a time when pro wrestling was going through a big boom period. It was very, very popular when your dad was active. In your day-to-day lives, when you were going to the store or if you went to the park or something, did you find that a lot of fans would approach your family?
Even when we went to, like, local shows, like, there would be other fans at the shows, and, like, people would come up, and, of course, some people would know who we are, and they'd come up and, you know, just shake our hand for no apparent reason for us just being related. But, I mean, that was kind of cool, but, like, I'm here just like you. I'm a fan of pro wrestling, you know? But yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say.
But yeah.
When you would go to local shows with your family, how old were you when you started going to like the local independents?
That was probably my, as soon as I come out the hospital as a baby, to be honest, I was around 2.5, 3 months premature, so I didn't leave the hospital till I was around 6 months old. So when my mom was in labor, my grandmother was downtown buying tickets for the local show coming up. And my very first day out of the hospital at 6 months old, we went to a WWF house show, my very first day out. And then every week after that, I would go to the local shows with my grandma. Like, we get there, and back then, and still to the day she died, we always showed up 2-3 hours before the doors opened, and that was just tradition, and like we didn't leave till we left, you know.
I remember those days. I very often would see your mom and your grandmother at shows whenever I was in Indiana doing a tour, so I definitely remember them doing that.
Go ahead. But no, that was just the thing, like, We showed up early, you know, and that was just my sisters, my grandma, my mom, me, and my aunt. We'd all, it's just that was common life to us, if that makes sense.
It definitely does. Definitely does. In addition to your dad and your grandfather, there were other members of the family that got into the wrestling business too. Several of your grandfather's son-in-laws found their way into professional wrestling for a time. Not a lot gets said about the family as a whole being, you know, a fairly large wrestling family, but it definitely did have several members. What was it like for you knowing there were so many people related to you working in professional wrestling at some point in time or another?
Man, that's one of the coolest things, because when I sat down and look at like all the details, and you look at it, you're like, man, all these big people. Come through, you know, and Spike's body was amazing for a pro wrestler. He was, you know, and Romer come, and Romer's awesome as a manager, you know. I always remember Romer managing Rip Rogers when I was growing up, and at some of the local shows, and I hated them too. Even though Romer was related, like I hated them. Like, they was the perfect bad guys. And Tim, who plays Junior now, we don't really have a relationship, but you know, he went as the Golden Lion back then during my grandpa's promotion of the WWA. And I mean, he's not bad in the ring, but me and him just, I have differences with that, if that makes any sense.
Oh yeah, it definitely does. When your dad was wrestling, he was under the name Leroy Redbone, and they didn't really play up that he was Dick the Bruiser's son at the time. Do you know if there was a reason why they didn't have him wrestling more as a relative to Dick the Bruiser?
I mean, him and my grandpa would butt heads a lot. Like, he was the baby. My Aunt Michelle, she's older than he is. But my dad was always the baby. But I don't know if it wasn't. I think a lot of pressure got to him when it come to that, because I can see like the pressure now that I'm older and stuff, because I noticed you know, during growing up that I had, I won't say pressure, but like an athlete, when I was an athlete and all that, I grew up and some teachers or coaches would be like, are you related to the Bruiser? I'm like, yeah, how'd you know that? And they was like, oh, we know. And I was like, yeah, that's my grandfather. I think just a lot of pressure got to that. And before he was Leroy, he was, I think it was the second version of the Masked Strangler. In the WWA, I think it was the second version. I could be wrong, but I just think a lot of pressure got to him for just being the son of the Bruiser, and everybody expected him to just be just as good as the Bruiser was. And when you place somebody that high for certain people, just no matter what you do, you're never going to live up to it. They always butted heads, because he also always, he done a lot of random dumb stuff that just didn't even need it to be done. But he always just seemed to find his way into trouble. And then My grandpa would get him out, and to be honest, I think that was part of his problem.
Well, at this point in time, Coach Mike Jones is standing by, and I know Coach has questions as well, so I'm going to pass things right over to the coach with the most.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Hey, brother. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
So, of course, you're related to wrestlers, but in your lifetime, who are your heroes growing up? That includes sports, music, wrestling, and ordinary life.
Man, one of my heroes growing up was always be my grandpa. You know, what I remember of him, my dad was a hero of mine growing up, but I realized he wasn't the best role model, but it was later in life. Peyton Manning, big hero, Reggie Miller, Flick Leonard, so some of the nicest people I've ever met, and I say to this day, my sister, we still have conversations about it. Esteem was the nicest person we ever met backstage.
Awesome. And then, what about in your lifetime, what have been some of the most memorable matches you've seen? That includes internet, VHS tape, or live.
One of the coolest matches I think I've seen live was probably the Edge and Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell at SummerSlam, when Edge went through the canvas. That was pretty cool to see live, and I had my grandma front row with me and my kids and stuff. But I remember being backstage at WCW with my grandpa before, and seeing like all the stars. But to us, it was just like some people get in awe, but like they're just normal people.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Nice.
And then this next segment is called Favorites. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would like to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
Coffee to drink. Oh, Folger Silk, Black Silk.
And then in your lifetime, what have been your favorite concerts you've been to?
I went to a Mayhem concert at, I think it was Deer Creek, whatever the new name is now, but when it was Disturbed, Godsmack. I also went and seen Jimmy Buffett, which was pretty cool.
Sweet. Okay, yes, that would have been legendary. Nice. And then what's been your favorite sports teams?
Man, my favorite sports team, baseball, the Atlanta Braves. Basketball, Indiana Pacers and the Chicago Bulls. Football, I'm a big Colts, and I'm a Packers fan, of course. My grandfather played for him. Hockey, Detroit Red Wings. You know, Fever. My soccer team, of course, is going to be Manchester United.
Sweet. Okay. Now, what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
You know, that's a hard answer to do, and an easy one, because it all depends on what you want to do. Because some want to get in it just to have fun and do a weekend, and some want to make a career. But the thing is, be silly, be a character, because you'll get noticed. Just and the best thing, be consistent.
Right on. Okay, nice. And then, what do you got coming up? Are you going to any shows?
Well, we're going to be going to the Rumble. We've been talking about getting tickets or a suite to that. We're not sure on that one yet. We went to a couple shows a couple weeks ago, but in the next coming weeks, nothing major really, but just looking forward to the Rumble, and then hoping to get the group of guys that I go to shows with to go to a couple more local shows here soon.
Awesome. All right, well, I'm going to give you back to Sign Guy. I'm sure he's got some more questions for you, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carl, in the time that your dad was wrestling, merchandise was in its very infancy. You didn't see a lot of merchandise for the wrestlers. There might have been a T-shirt or a hat, and that would be your only option if you were that lucky, programs normally. But was there any merchandise, to your knowledge, made for your dad?
No. I'm pretty sure none was ever made for him. Because I remember showing my mom an interview recently of him in this red, like, sweatshirt, but he cut off. It looked like a sweater vest with no arms. And And she goes, I told him not to wear that. He looked like an idiot. And he would look at her and go, I'm the bone, baby. And the person you see, he see as the character, that was really him. But no, I've never seen none made because everything I've always seen of him, he's always wearing the red shirt she's mentioned or something like that.
Fair enough. Wrestling, as we know, is a dangerous sport, and people do get hurt. It's just part of the natural part of the wrestling business. I don't know if you were old enough to really grasp when he was injured or not, but do you know if your dad ever had any serious injuries?
I don't think he had any serious injuries when he was wrestling. To be honest, I don't ever think I remember him being injured growing up.
Now, your dad wrestled in the 1980s, and there are still several people that are wrestling right now that were in the WWE at the same time as him, guys like TJ Powers, Bobo Brazil Jr., Bruiser Jr., Austin James, still active on the independent scene. Do you find yourself watching those guys quite a bit more than some of the modern wrestlers just because you know that they had that connection with your dad?
Oh, yeah. Like, I remember going to the Tyndall Armory downtown here in Indianapolis and helping, like, set up chairs. But I remember, coming in the building as I was growing up, it was a superstar TJ Powers. And it, like, the names you always remember. And I seen him local, you know. He's still local. He's a pretty good old-school wrestler, him and his tag team that he's got going on with Dice Man. Like, I always enjoyed TJ and them as a tag team. And you know, some of the other ones, Bobo Jr., I remember him, you know, visiting him with my dad, which is crazy. I've had conversations with him before in text. And, yeah, no, I still watch some of his stuff when I can. He puts a local show on here in Indy every month, every other month or something like that. I can't really remember. But I keep an eye on it, but I haven't been to it. And Tim, Bruiser Jr., I'm not really too familiar with what he's doing. Like, I care about what he's doing. I don't care for the gimmick that he's doing. So I don't really follow it because it's best sometimes to just let some stuff be unsaid.
Understood. Now, when you go to the local shows now, your dad and grandfather have been gone long enough that a lot of the young wrestlers coming up may not even know the names anymore just because they're so young. But a lot of the wrestlers either worked with your dad and grandfather or they were growing up watching them on television. Do you get recognized quite a bit by the wrestlers when you go to the shows and they know who you are, or do they have to be introduced to you before they put the connection together?
If I see some wrestlers now, they can make connection, but like most of them, they would have to be introduced to me, because like I'm pretty private. Like I'm not like if you don't talk to me, I won't introduce myself kind of guy. Like I just carry on about my business.
When your dad was wrestling, it was still an era in the wrestling business where a lot of wrestlers would not spartan up their family to what the business really was. A lot of wives would fear for their husbands' lives, more or less, every time they went out to wrestle, not realizing what the true nature of the business was. A lot of children grew up the same way, like in fear of their father's safety. Do you remember if growing up your father had kind of let the family know what was happening, or was it a situation where he didn't really let anyone in on the inner workings in the family?
You know, we knew a little bit growing up, but like I remember I seen blood one time when I was growing up. It was in one of my dad's matches, and I remember that spot was playing because growing up they said, oh, so and so's gonna bleed. I can't remember who told me that, but and they was like, oh, but he's fine, you know. And but to us it was like, oh, he's still hurt, you know. But like growing up, it like even though it's that's the thing a lot of people don't get. Even though it's kayfabe, it's still real. It's just a soap opera for grown men. That's all it is. With instead of acting, we got wrestling moves. That's what we got.
Talked about your family attending shows, and they were very, very passionate fans. I remember barely getting out of the ring alive when your mom took a swing at me with a prosthetic leg once. When your family was going to shows, do you think having been in a family with so many people in wrestling just elevated that passion level for the business, and that made them get into the matches that much more? Or were they just diehard fans, regardless if they were related to people in the business or not?
Man, that's the whole misconception. Is everybody thinks I'm a wrestling fan first because I was born into like a wrestling family because of my grandfather, but to be honest, the whole love for wrestling actually for me comes from my grandmother, because I remember going to the Tyndall Armory, taking the freight elevator down, helping carrying guardrails up or chairs and setting them up. And if we couldn't set them up, at the end of the show, we would help sweep as little kids. But that was always the highlight of the week for me and my sisters. It was like, oh, we're getting out of school today and we're going to wrestling tonight, you know?
When you see what wrestling is now, where it is big business and you have several different promotions that have national television exposure now, and you have billion-dollar television right contracts being signed, and you have cities bidding millions of dollars to bring large events to their city, and wrestlers are making $5 to $10 million a year in a lot of instances for the top talent. compared to when your family was running wrestling and it was maybe 2,000 or 3,000 fans on average in most of the towns in Indiana, and it was on TV just regionally throughout the state of Indiana, maybe down into Louisville, maybe right over the border in Illinois and Ohio, but that was the extent of the fan base. Did you prefer having a small regional feel of pro wrestling, or do you prefer being in the era we're in where everything's at the top level sort of a national entity?
I miss the small feel because it was more intimate, like everything's so much closer. Like if you're setting up in a big stadium, like if a dude takes a bump on the ring from the superplex, you're not going to feel it up there. But if you're sitting ringside at a local venue, you're still going to feel a little of that impact through the floor, which is, it's the whole immersion thing. It's just, you know, it blends it all together. It makes you feel like you're there.
We recently got from Netflix the Vince McMahon documentary series, and they put out this 6-episode documentary, but they had hundreds of hours of footage available to produce this. We've seen, of course, the Bret Hart documentary, Wrestling with Shadows, that chronicled when he left the WWF after the Montreal Screwjob. We've seen Beyond the Map, that followed several different wrestlers and saw their journey. It seems like your dad and or your grandfather would be a perfect subject for a documentary at some point. Do you know if there was ever any talk of getting a documentary on them?
I'm not sure about my grandfather, to be honest. But I know recently about my dad, somebody said that I should look into having a book wrote and think about it, about him being the son and living in the shadow of my grandfather, which I've actually thought that something like that would be actually really cool, because a lot of people, you said a couple of questions ago, a lot of people never even knew he was related to my grandfather. If you looked at Bruiser Jr., to be honest, I mean, he could get away with being my actual grandfather's son from his look now. But my dad he wasn't built like my grandfather. My dad was a pretty tall guy, you know, had a decent little build on him. But, like, they didn't look alike, you know?
Now, one of the family members, Scott Romer, has published books in the past. He's an award-winning author. Have you ever talked with him on perhaps he being the one to write the book on your grandfather and maybe your father and maybe even just the WWA in general?
We haven't had that conversation, but to be honest, Romer's super knowledgeable. He's very smart in what he does. When he would, even after him and my Aunt Michelle divorced, Romer still came around. My mom, my grandma, like he knew where we lived. Like, he's come over and visit, you know. I've always kept in touch with him, but no, we've never had that conversation. Maybe we should.
I mean, I don't know of anyone more appropriate to write of the story of your family's legacy in wrestling than a member of the family.
Yeah, no, I agree. He was around a lot of them back then. You know, he hung out with my dad and Bobo. You know, he was the manager. You know, back then took the photos. I mean, so yeah, I mean he if anybody was gonna write one, he would probably be a real good one. I'd be interested in that one for sure.
I said earlier that the WWA was immensely popular within the state of Indiana, and anyone that was old enough to remember when the WWA was around, whether it was the 60s, 70s, or 80s, they often remember it very, very fondly. And everyone from David Letterman to Vince McMahon would reference Dick the Bruiser and Indiana wrestling at given points. So a lot of people outside of the state heard about at least what was going on with the WWA if they weren't actually able to see it because of the regional aspect of wrestling at that point. Do you think that because it was such a regional promotion that not a lot of fans today respect exactly how popular and how much money the WWA was making when they were an extremely small territory running basically just the state of Indiana?
Yeah, I mean, you can't go anywhere. Like David Letterman said on his shows and in interviews before, you can't go anywhere in Indiana and somebody from the older generation not know who the Bruiser is. I got a real good example of that, actually. My oldest son went down to the JPWA, Dr. Tom's training school in Tennessee, and a couple of the other guys were in the ring when they, you know, was doing their thing. And I remember watching one of the videos, and he was like, oh, this is the Bruiser's great-grandson, mama, this and that. And he was like, oh, you guys don't know who the Bruiser is? And they was like, nah, and they was from the younger generation, and a lot of the younger generation just, they should go back and watch some of the old classic black and white wrestling, because the emotion, the grit, everything is there. But, like, a lot of them don't know a lot of the older stars, a lot of the old stars come through the WWA. I've seen photos of, you know, Flair, Bruiser Brody. Yeah, I mean, Lawler's been up here. That's kind of the cool thing about wrestling, though, also, is that even though it was so local to us here, the WWA, it's wide span now. Like, a lot of people coast to coast know of like, the Bruiser, or, you know, Bruiser Brody. A lot of people know them, and it's not like they was super big in every territory they went to, but, like, if you was local, you wouldn't ever think, like, any of these people could be that big, you know?
One person that has been trying to uphold the history of the WWE and educate fans on it is Dave Dynasty. He has his own very, very good podcast where he oftentimes focuses on the WWE, especially the 70s and the 80s. Do you ever listen to or talk with Dave Dynasty about your family's legacy?
Actually, believe it or not, it was a week or two ago. Me and him messaged each other, sorry, and he asked me if I had any certain pictures, and I have tons and tons and tons of, like, pictures and stuff that eventually one day I'm going to, you know, go through and scan, and he asked me if I come across any certain ones, if I'd shoot them over to him, and I was like, yeah, you know, because I appreciate his efforts. He really does try to keep the memory going. Like he's a pretty cool guy also. But yeah, no, I listen to his every now and then. He does wrestling and horror stuff on there, which is pretty cool. So.
One of the more interesting stories I know of around Indianapolis local wrestling is that the late Dangerous Bull Don Basher actually got his wrestling name because he went to the estate sale and purchased your grandfather's trunks, which had the letters DB on them. So he had to come up with a name to match the initials on his trunks, which ended up being first Dangerous Bull and then Don Basher, which he later combined. Were you aware of that story?
I've heard that story before, but I never know, you know, if it was true or not because, you know, who I've heard it from, and you know how stuff, if it gets down the grapevine, it gets twisted just a little bit.
That's very, very true. Now, your dad wrestled quite a bit for the WWE in the 80s, and that was a time when a lot of people from the WWE would make appearances for the WWF. Some of them were pretty brief, but you had guys like Bobo Brazil, Dr. Jerry Graham Jr., Sal Creechman all made some appearances for the WWF in that time period when your dad was actively wrestling. Do you know if there was ever any talks of having your dad booked for WWF TV?
I've never heard of any stories like that, man. And to be honest, that's part of his own sabotage. Anytime he would get momentum or, you know, would start doing what he needed would do, he would always find his way off to do something stupid. He would veer the path, and he would find his way into something stupid, and he would put himself right back into square one, even if he took 50 steps forward. He always went back to square one.
Now, since that was the case, you said that he and your grandfather would butt heads a lot. Do you know if there was a lot of heat with your dad and other members of the roster that maybe were trying to help him get spots with the bigger company and he would sabotage it?
I can't say that for sure because I've never heard of anything like that. But I mean, him and Saul, Romer, they was tight. I mean, so that's very possible that Romer maybe could have helped out, you know, if. But that's a big maybe. That's, you know, that would have to be, you know, Leroy doing his thing, and we all know how that turned out. It wasn't for the good.
In more recent years, a lot of families of wrestlers that are either retired or deceased have been putting out merchandise for fans of their relative. You can go on and get like coffee mugs or t-shirts or hats or whatever of the wrestler's image on it, and the proceeds will go to the family members that produced it, pro wrestling tees and brainbusters and things like that. Work with the families in order to produce the merchandise. Is getting merchandise of your dad something that you've ever considered doing on your own, just so that there are things out there for the people that are fans of your dad?
You know, I've thought about having something done maybe, but I wasn't really sure if there was a big interest in something like that for him, because like I've seen good and bad stories, and but like some of the stories I've heard, one recently somebody said that he could have been as good as my grandpa was if he would have just kept his stuff together, and if he could have been that big, oh yeah, like merchandise would have been amazing, because like he could talk, like he was a smooth talker, and so I could see him being very, very popular if he could have pulled all the strings together.
We talked earlier of your mom and your grandmother being big fans of wrestling. Obviously, with the family connection, doors could have been open. Do you know if your mom ever considered working in the professional wrestling business at any point?
Nah, I don't think so. She always liked it. My mom liked to be a loudmouth, like everybody. She hated you during the show, but after the show, everybody could be best friends. But no, I've never heard of anything about her doing anything like that ever.
'90s, Diamond Dan Garza ran the PWI promotion in Indianapolis, and it had television locally in Indianapolis, and Dan Garza ran it a lot like what the WWA was a decade earlier. It was in a very small, intimate building with a couple of bleachers. He brought in a lot of guys that had worked for the WWA that the local fans would recognize, and mixed that with a few guys that were known from the national companies to draw in the casual fans. The presentation had a very early to mid-80s feel about it. Did you ever watch the old PWI promotion?
I've been to a couple of them shows, actually. I've watched some of the stuff on tape too, but I've actually been to a couple of their shows. One of my good buddies back then, he's passed away now. Him and his sister loved that, and they always went. And so I tag along with them a couple of times, and I really enjoyed it.
There's a fairly strong chance we were at opposite ends of the bleachers at the same show then.
Could have been.
All right. Well, Coach Mike Jones, do you have any further questions for Carl today?
No, I just appreciate your story, and thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Man, you know, hey, thanks for having me. Like I said, my nerves was a little nervous because it's the first time I've ever done anything like this. So, again, it was pretty fun.
Right on. Nice.
Well, we definitely enjoyed having you, and I want to thank you for being with us. And if there's anything that you want to say to the listeners as we wrap up today, or if you want to plug and promote absolutely anything at all, floor is all yours.
Man, just to anybody that wants to be a wrestler, just if you're thinking about it, just go out there and do it, because you only live one time. If it's not for you, you'll know it. But if you love it, you love it, and don't let nobody tell you can't do it. Oh, it's fake. It's all this and that. Yeah, well, it if your heart's into it, that's all that matters. Man, but yeah, like I said before, my love of wrestling come from my grandmother, but. My grandfather, you know, played for the Packers and all that. He even went to Purdue, and I hate Purdue, you know. But it's just crazy because my grandmother was just at a show, and how my mom met my dad was taking him home from the show, which is crazy. And yeah, that's the story, man. And it's a wild ride. I mean, my dad, I think he could have been really, really, really popular if he could have just pulled all his strings together and all that.
All right. Well, Carl, I want to thank you very much again for taking your time to be here with us. We definitely had a great time with you. Hopefully we will be able to do this again sometime.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you both for having me.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
And hopefully Scott Romer will be in contact. Maybe we'll get that book.
Hey, maybe. If so, we can make that happen.
I would be one of the first in line to get a copy, 100%. All right, fans, if you are not familiar with Leroy Redbone, then jump on the YouTube, look up his work. They're on, like, whatever platform you have, the YouTube, the Daily Motion, there's some out there. Dick the Bruiser, of course, most fans are going to be familiar with, but jump on and watch some old Dick the Bruiser. Carl's family, very prolific in the business. Lots of uncles in there as well. They were very, very good. Maybe even give a listen to Dave Dynasty's podcast to learn more about the movers and the shakers of the WWA. Coaches, we wind this up. What have you got to say, plug, and promote?
Yeah, you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And also, I have had the honor to have my own podcast, the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast that Sign Guys helped me with. There's 92 episodes in the books. That was for season one. I think we're going to call that a wrap for season one. But, yes, thank you guys so much. I want to thank Turnbuckle Turmoil, QT, JD for creating it, Sign Guy for all you guys do. Thank you so much. We love the fans for all your input and feedback. Thank you.
All right, fans, you can find us on the Book of Faces, the YouTubes, the X, wherever there's social media, you can usually find your way to us, myself, and the Chicken Bob as well. And we will be back with you next week, next Friday afternoon. We have Damien, the son of Cousin Cooter, whom I've known since he was a literal baby. He is now dipping his toe into the world of independent pro wrestling. He's had his first few shows over the last few months, so we're excited to have him on. And then 1 week from today, we have Debbie Dahmer. She is the daughter of the late Chief White Owl, who was a very big star in the Midwest in the 50s through the early 80s. He was also one of the first WWF World Tag Team Champions. So we're going to be very interested to talk with his daughter, Debbie. You can find me later this month on the 18th over in Port Orchard, Washington this month for Northwest Pro, a change of venue due to a mix-up with our normal home. So head over to Port Orchard for Northwest Pro, and then on the 26th, I will be back with Midget Warrior Wrestling up in Anacortes, Washington. So make your plans to find me and get out there, support local wrestling wherever it may be near you. Everybody stay safe, and we will talk to you soon.
Mike Jones on the coach with the most, coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't wanna boast, but now I gotta roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.